listener exclusive.
Triple M Breakfast, and welcome to the podcast. This is Matty Ray, and every Wednesday we catch up with the lead investor of the Motley Fool and listener's own Scott Phillips. And we were asking Scott about the jump in grocery prices. A basket these days at Coles and Woolies is costing you around $406. That's a sharp increase from $361 just 2 years ago. And we also touch on a one that we first learned from our textpert Trevor Long about how a Queensland man got done tens of thousands due to a SIM card scam. Basically, once they had his mobile, they had his bank account under control too, the scammers. So that's a very scary thing that can happen to any of us if we don't keep our passwords strong. Now, of course, Scott isn't in the know about the tech of all the things, but say if you were to fall victim to a financial scam, I want to ask him, what can the bank do to help? First, what's driving up those grocery prices?
We've talked about inflation on and off for the past few years, and this is really what's going on when it comes to the there's lots of cliches, lots of kind of, you know, catchphrases, but the cost of living crisis is pretty real for so many people, because you can cut back on a lot of things, including travel and accommodation and other things. Very, very hard to cut back on food, mate. And when the prices are going up that significantly over a very short period of time, you've got to find the money somewhere else. Finding $40 a week on top of everything else you're paying for is a pretty significant one. What's caused it? A few things. We know that very, very early on, post-COVID, the supply chain snafus that really shocked the world saw the fuel prices go through the roof, food prices go through the roof. And that was kind of the start of something. The problem is with inflation, it feeds into everything. My prices are your costs. Then you put those costs into your price, they become someone else's prices and so on. It goes around and around in circles, mate. And this is the so-called inflation spiral the RBA has been so concerned about. If the price of fuel goes up, then it costs more to deliver your fruit and veg to the shop.
Yeah.
Therefore, it costs more to buy the fruit and veg. Now, if you're in the food business and you're then using those products to sell, make a sandwich for someone or some takeaway food, those prices go up. And as I said, around and around it goes. This is why inflation is so terrible, mate, because it does absolutely touch every corner of society. And it, as I said, it feeds on itself, making it a spiral if the RBA doesn't get it under control.
Yep, let's take a look at it and break it down a bit more. So fats and oils are the category where the costs have jumped the highest. In fact, that is up a staggering 31%. For your breakfast cereal, your bread, your eggs, your milk, your cheese, all up between 22 to 25%, so a fair jump there. Conversely, it's only a 4% jump for beef and vegetables, though that's due to a lack of exports out of China. Are there any tariffs still in place that are slowing those exports?
Well, there's a few, but not many. Not in beef. There are some a couple of abattoirs in Australia that China is still black banning or putting tariffs on, as they would pretend.
Yeah.
But no, everything is effectively gone now, mate. I don't know if the lobsters have come off yet, but China absolutely smashed us across the board, and then slowly unwound some of those things. Barley came off. Wine came off most recently. So there's a little bit still to go.
Yeah.
But no, that's really unfortunately not the blame. We've got to blame someone else. It's their fault they did it. Prices are up around the world. By the way, that list you went through, some of those things, and this is why this is so terrible, they were all really basic staples, right?
Yeah, of course.
Cereals, dairy, fats and oils. But those, it doesn't get more simple than that. You can't break it down from there. You can't cut back on some of that stuff. And that's really the challenge. And it is a global problem. Believe it or not, this is cold comfort for anyone listening. Australian food prices, according to the Bureau of Statistics, have gone up less since COVID than the UK, the US, Europe, and New Zealand. So on one hand, we could say, well, at least it could have been worse. Doesn't make anything cheaper, mate.
No, it doesn't.
Cold comfort. But if there is any positive, it's that, frankly, most of the rest of the Western world is doing it much tougher than we are.
You reckon it's just the trade exports, though, that's causing that only slow increase for beef and vegetables, or are we just splurging on those kind of comfort foods rather than getting the necessary proteins and iron from beef and vegetables?
So that's the key point, right? So when people, if you're trying to cut back, what do you do? How do you find a way? As you said, that basket increase, by the way, of about 10%, is only about half of the inflation rate. So what that's actually saying is people are cutting back on what they're buying, the amount they're buying, but with meat, with the cuts they're buying. Too often, processed food is cheaper than fresh food, as we all know. So, the bill's going up 10%, but prices are going up 20%. The difference there is all the things we're not buying or we're buying the cheaper versions of. So, it's a bit of that. I mean, fruit and veg and meat, as we all know, are always super volatile, mate. So, it's one of those things where even over a 12-month period or a two-year period, those things can be really just a function of climate, a function of herd sizes, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to be a little bit careful with some of those more volatile numbers. The cereals, the dairy, that's the stuff that tends to be more stable, and that's the better indicator. Again, still the prices people are paying, but that's the better indication of the impact of inflation.
Yeah, well, back to the trade with China bit, of course, the Band-Aid seems to be getting ripped off there bit by bit.
Yeah.
But we'll move on now and find out, well, we got this from our expert, Trevor Long, the story of how a Queensland man lost tens of thousands due to a SIM card scam where basically once hackers had control of his phone, they accessed his banking. Now, we know the tech part, that's, of course, out of your wheelhouse, but I do want to ask you, like, say you do fall victim to a scam where you lose money and your banking details are compromised. Like, what can the bank do in its power to help you out?
So there's a few things. If it's a credit card, frankly, you've got many more rights than savings. And that's one of those things, ironically, was the banks were so desperate for us to use credit. They basically gave all these guarantees to make us feel safe and make us feel comfortable.
Yeah.
The good thing about that is that if we do get scammed on credit cards, generally speaking, as long as you keep an eye on your account, as long as you let the bank know pretty quickly, they can actually reverse that transaction and make you whole. And more often than not, they will do that. So that's the good stuff. The other stuff gets a bit more murky, mate, and it actually comes down to the bank's good graces at some point. If, you know, if through no fault of the banks, you've been scammed, it's not your fault either necessarily, but the bank isn't necessarily on the hook to make you whole for that sort of stuff. So, well, you know, victims of crime, the banks know no more or no less a victim than we are. So it is a difficult one. They, again, have some redress sometimes, but generally once the money is gone, if it's been transferred from your account to somebody else's, the bank can't access that second bank. It could have gone anywhere else in the meantime, maybe then shut down the account, closed or moved out. Much harder for them to get hold of it. So, it depends on how the hackers get access to your account. Depends on what information they have and what transactions they make on which type of account. I know it's a bit of a random answer or a bit of a brave answer, but it really, really does depend. I mean, Trevor's the guru here, but in terms of tech, it's really, really, really important to be very careful what you do. People aren't as tech savvy, particularly some of the older people in our community, tend to just press the button and, you know, I guess that's okay. I'll press yes, I'll press accept, I'll do this, I'll do that. Just be really, really super careful. If you're not sure, don't do it is the absolute answer. There are some hardship provisions available from your banks if you get to that point, but the best, as always, prevention is better than cure. Be really, really, really careful. Don't put your account details anywhere you don't absolutely know for sure are legitimate. Don't click on SMS links unless you know it's from your provider. Don't click on email links. The usual stuff applies. It's the tech hygiene these days. And again, Trevor's the gun here, but that's the sort of stuff that is really, really important and can save you thousands of bucks.
Yeah, and it comes down to where you know the communication with your bank usually comes
Correct.
From. So if you see it come from another way and it looks weird, just do the simple things like call a loved one or call your bank to be sure before you click on that link, and then you might be finding yourself scammed. And it also boils down to what Trevor was saying yesterday. Make sure your passwords are strong. Now,
That's a good one.
Yeah,
just quickly too, the other thing is, you know, if you get an email, you get an SMS, you almost never have to use. The banks will usually these days won't send you one. They won't send you a link to click on. Go to the bank's website directly. Type in anz.com or commonwealthbank.com, you know, whatever those accounts are. Go to the site itself. I know it's easy to click on a link and code be taken there, but that's how websites get copied. Never, ever, ever tap on a link on an SMS or an email. Go to the provider's website directly, type that into your browser and start there. That's the best way to protect yourself.
Yeah. Scott, it's really cool hearing you talk about this, and we'd probably like to hear you talk about it some more, particularly on what happens or what the bank can do, say, if you do fall victim to a money scam. Where can we hear you?
That's very kind. On the Listener app, as always, the two podcasts I do, Motley Fool Money I do with Andrew Page, and The Good Oil with Scott Phillips, the other one. Grab either of those two on Listener. It's free, as you know, Matty. Great place to catch up on some really good content, including other stuff, by the way, not just mine, but that's where you can find me.
We love your stuff too. And we always love catching up with you on a Wednesday, mate. So until next week, you have a good one.
Talk to you then.
A Listener exclusive.